Is Auburn on a little Friday flip watch? Seems like it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. Let's go. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Happy Friday. It's your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after a ton of action, a ton of high school recruiting action to talk about. And then, is Auburn on flip watch? I think so, and I'll break that down for you here shortly. But before we get started, you know we got to give a shout-out to our boy, Ford Stokes. You need to be on flip watch. If you have your retirement, if you have your investments somewhere else, you need to be on flip watch. You need to be checking out Ford Stokes at retirementresults.com/plan and let him take that plan and analyze it and make sure it's performing at its maximum level. Why not? You have absolutely nothing to lose. He'll do it for you at totally no cost, and you'll make a friend at the same time. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him I sent you. That's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Guys, let's go ahead and dive straight into it. A little bit of a surprise flip watch Auburn is on right now. And that player in particular is Nate Marshall from Fenwick High School in Chicago, Illinois. Really highly rated four-star defensive lineman. And it seems like the bat signals are coming in. The predictions are coming in. He got a Fong bomb seemingly out of nowhere. And I think this thing could go quickly. I think this thing is on schedule to possibly be announced today, this morning even. Depending on when you listen to this, he could already be on the commitment list. Nate's kind of been a target all along. You thought Auburn had a lot of momentum earlier in this recruitment and possibly could have got his pledge to begin with, but he ends up he ends up going to Michigan in the process, and then it went totally dark quiet on him. It went totally quiet, but it seems like that Vontrell King-Williams has made this kid a priority from the beginning. He's from Chicago, Illinois. So was Vontrell King-Williams. Their high schools that they went to are not very far apart. And I think, you know, VK wanted to make a big splash here. I think he wanted to make a big splash here and get, you know, show this is my hometown and I got relationships here. I want to plant an Auburn flag in Chicago, Illinois. And why not? I mean, there's a ton of talent that comes out of that area. And it seems like Auburn is get primed right now to pick up a big time defensive line commitment from Chicago. I can't even remember the last defensive lineman. I don't know if Auburn's ever gotten a defensive lineman from Chicago. And if there's one on the list from way back when, I apologize. Let me know about it in the comments, but that's just not a typical area that Auburn ever gets in, really up north in that northern area. Auburn doesn't have a lot of success in general. Now, you may get some transfers. You may get some, you know, JUCO guys that take a long route to get there. But straight out of high school, it doesn't typically happen. But, yeah, I think this one's going down quickly. I think this one's going to go down super fast. And this will solidify that defensive line and give you another guy that's going to be able to be flexible and play multiple positions. Currently, this guy, let's break down kind of who he is as a player. So first off, he's roughly 6'4", 250, 260, okay? But he's extremely long and extremely athletic. If you watch his huddle film, the first 5-6 clips start off him catching fades at tight end. You know I love that. You know I love 50-50 balls. So he's that athletic. He's that athletic that he can – play that position at a very high level. So he could play offense or defense. He's primarily going to be a defensive lineman. But on his high school team, he's very similar to a guy we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. But on his high school team, he lines up literally all across the defensive line. So when they need a big stop on third and short. He lines up dead over the center, like right in the middle, and like scoots down in, and he can disrupt, and he can break the plays up. He can there's one where he tackled almost got a handoff before the quarterback could even hand it off. So he has the physicality to be able to slide inside and be that run stopping defensive lineman. And then he also has the ability to slide out and be a pass rushing threat. I think at Auburn, I think he'll probably start off in that sort of Keldrick Falk mode. They're honestly very similar builds. Keldrick was a little bit bigger, not much, but just a little bit bigger in high school, but they're very similar builds out of high school. And I think maybe they have some similar athletic ability traits, you know, because Keldrick played a little bit of wildcat quarterback at times in high school, just to show that he's got that. They both have that flexibility, that they're not just, you know, your old stuffy, you know, defensive line, you know, boxy robots. You know, they can do a little bit. They can do a little bit of everything. This reminds me so much back when LSU was in their prime, you know, when Les Miles was there, they used to have defensive linemen, and they all looked like they were, when they would sign, they would all be like 6'4", 250, 260 plus, just athletic guys. And Auburn is starting to sort of stack those up. You got Keldrick Falk, you got Amaris Williams, and now you could add Nate Marshall and a guy, like I said, we're going to talk about in just a second, Jared Smith. You're just sort of building so much versatility. What makes a defensive line really, really good? What takes a defensive line from just being good to the next level is when you can have multiple guys like Keldrick Falk, like Amaris Williams, like TJ Lindsey, like Nate Marshall, that can play those multiple positions, and you don't have to have big substitution packages. You know what I'm saying? So like when it's third and long, you can slide in. You can take a guy from the outside, slide him inside. You can do multiple things with those guys. They can play multiple positions and still be very effective at all of them because they are elite. That's what takes a defensive line to the next level, because the packages don't necessarily give a tell so much on what you're trying to do, what you're going to do. So the offense has to be able to prepare for everything, because you could slide guys inside, you could slide guys outside, and it's the same guys on the field. So you're not signaling, hey, they're sending in their pass rush guys, so let's combat that with this. No, you got dudes that can do it all out there, and you got multiple of them. Auburn sometimes has had, you know, one on occasion, or, you know, maybe two if you go back to maybe like a Derrick Brown, Marlon Davidson type situation, even though Derrick Brown was really more so a guy right in the middle, Marlon could do a little bit of it all. These guys, Auburn's got, you know, could have three or four on the roster here very, very quickly. I can't express enough how big this commitment would be. Earlier in the month, I don't know if you saw it, earlier in the month, and I'm not going to take credit that I was predicting this guy, because this came out of nowhere, and I had no idea that it was this serious. Honestly, I saw some smoke and didn't believe it. I saw some smoke that Auburn was gaining here and didn't really believe it. So kudos to those who had snuffed this one out earlier, because I'm typically very positive, but this one I didn't have a lot of. It just had gone so dark, I didn't really buy into the smoke. But regardless, earlier in the month, I said that at the end of this month, at the end of August, Auburn would have their highest-rated class in the history of the modern recruiting era, okay? And what I mean by that is not where they finish in the rankings, okay? What I meant was the way that the different sites score classes, they give point total. There's different formulas and point totals to rate the classes. That's how they end up falling in the, you know, the first through, you know, one through 10 or whatever, one through whatever. That's how they end up finishing in those spots, is based off of points. And each site has their own way to score recruits and score classes. So from a point standpoint, okay, from a just a recruiting point standpoint, when this kid flips, when Nate Marshall is added to the class, I'm just going to say when at this point in time, because it's going to happen. When Nate Marshall is added to this class, and I'll you know, I'll cite my work a little bit later, but at least on 247, Auburn will have its highest rated recruiting class ever. Okay. And it's August 23rd. You know, it's August 23rd. So there's still 3-4 months left before signing day. So it just goes to show you, and I don't think Auburn's done as far as commits possibly in August. So it's going to get even higher, and sort of the sky's the limit at this point in time. There's this one kind of came out of the blue. A lot of the factors that I was looking at as far as where Auburn finishes did not include this kid, who is a very highly, highly rated guy. On Rivals, he's borderline five-star. So he's the number one defensive lineman on Rivals, on the Rivals side. I think he's consensus top five defensive lineman in the whole country. So very, very highly rated kid, not one that I was accounting for. So now it's like, man, the pathway to the top two is becoming even more and more real, because, you know, you got Deuce Knight right there on the horizon. You got possibly one of the big offensive linemen and Andrew Babalola or Malachi Goodman. You got some wide receivers that you're talking to that are very interested in watching Deuce Knight. It just sort of makes Tyler Lockhart still out there. You know, Tyler Lockhart, that I think Auburn still leads for, that they're still trying to work and convince, hey, this kid needs to be, or convince family and whatnot. I know you got a brother at Mississippi State, but Auburn's the place for you. And I think they're buying into that. I think they're believing that, and it could be something that happens pretty soon as well. So like, once you really start thinking about all these possibilities that aren't really reaches, you probably lead for a lot of them. This top three, top two class is starting to really become a reality. And I think it's just uncharted territory for Auburn and Auburn recruiting in general. And it kind of kicks off with this impending. Is that the right word? I'm not 100% sure if that's the correct term, but this commit that's incoming, because it's definitely coming, and it should be here public, I would imagine, at any point in time. So big, big time. Keep your head on a swivel, because this one's going to be a fun day. It's going to be a fun day, I believe. Kind of going on in that recruiting theme, last night, Thompson High School, which is becoming Auburn North, you know, continuing to rack up kids from Thompson High School. They continue to churn out stud after stud after stud, plays another football factory out of Georgia. Probably, I would say, maybe not the best teams is overall, but the best, so much talent on both sides of the ball. There was upwards of 25 to 30 kids that had either a committed to a D1 school or had D1 offers. So it's going to be, it was a absolute, stud fest. There was studs on both sides of the ball. Great game, went to overtime. Grayson ended up scoring and going for two to win the game, but that's not the highlight that I want to talk about. Jared Smith was the star of the game. Jared Smith, our defensive lineman, who is very similar. He's actually bigger, but very similar to that role that I'm describing, defensive lineman that Nate Marshall also could play at Auburn. Inside, outside, doesn't matter. He was in the backfield coming off the edge. He was in the backfield up the middle. He was in the backfield. He was dropping in coverage at 6'6", 260 pounds. And he may be bigger than that, honestly. He looks really, really good in pads, really, really big. He's one of those kids that you don't have to know what number he is. You can see him on the field and know that's Jared Smith. That guy is a college football player. That guy is a future SEC player. He had, I don't know what his official tally was, but at one point in time, late in the game, he had 15 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, and 3 sacks. He single-handedly shut down Grayson. Grayson moved the ball at times really, really well. As a matter of fact, their first drive, 14 plays for a touchdown, And then after that, every time they needed a big play, Jared Smith made the big play. It didn't matter if it was disrupting the quarterback, sacking the quarterback, getting in the backfield. He was a menace. He showed so many things that I have not seen from him yet. Showed explosion off the ball. He's quick off the ball. Showed a lot of moves with his hands. Very good hands. Not like just I'm going to run by you or run through you. Very good moves with his hand. Was able to really – and he's not playing against just regular old week-in, week-out high school guys. He's playing against possibly one of the greatest, one of the best non-academy, non-IMG rosters, just public school rosters that you could probably put up against the whole country. I mean, Grayson is unreal. Like their talent is unreal. Their offensive line is unreal. I would take their whole defensive front seven, any kid that played on Grayson in the front seven, I'd take them. I'd take them regardless. When they're a senior and they graduate, I'd take them. There's freaks everywhere. But he's going up against some of the best players in the country, some really, really good offensive linemen, some four-star guys in this 2025 class, and he was abusing them. He was absolutely abusing them. I have not seen this from his game. I have not seen this from his film. I know that there was that transition last year from Spain Park to Thompson. I have no idea what was happening before. I have no idea the reason behind it. I don't really care, to be honest. All I know is I was excited for a high four-star guy in general. I thought he was going to need a lot of development. You watch this game, and he is – whatever he's done between then and now – He looks almost SEC ready already. So I think for his first game of the year against Grayson, and I'm sure he ended up with more tackles, but 15 tackles, three tackles for loss, four tackles for loss, three sacks, unreal. Unreal first game. 15 tackles from the defensive line is just unheard of. That's linebacker, that's safety stats, stat padding type stuff. And this guy's coming off the defensive line, and typically he's coming from one side. So he's not even in the middle of the field. He's coming from one side of the field, even though he did slide inside quite a bit. So my expectations for Jared Smith are through the roof after this game. And I know it's just one game, but it is one game against the best of the best. So if it was against some, you know, 3 or 4A school and it was the opener or whatever, kind of like an Alabama A&M opener. No, this was the Super Bowl, basically, very first game. This was great on great, and he dominated. He was the best player on the field. I say best player. He was probably the second best player on the field, tied for, you know, 1 and 2 with Tyler Atkinson from Grayson, the outside linebacker, who was just, golly, that guy. And Auburn's really pushing for him as well. It's going to be tough to get him away from Georgia. But if Auburn, you know, Grayson has the Kenyatta Watson connection, if you can get Tyler Atkinson, holy cow. Other than Tyler Atkinson, Jared Smith was by far the best looking player on the field. And that would, and I think there's an argument that he looked better than Tyler Atkinson. So again, blown away by how well he played last night. He's definitely got a big season ahead of him. Hopefully he can stay healthy, because he's going to be a menace at Auburn. Going to be an absolute menace. Another kid from Thompson. Really had two more kids that had good games from Thompson, but Anquan Fagans, I knew this kid was good. So it didn't shock me that he was going to have, you know, six tackles, a scoop and score, fumble recovery. Lined him up at wide receiver, and he was, you know, playing, you know, getting deep balls. I don't think they necessarily connected on any of them, but just the fact that he's so good at 7A in the state of Alabama that he can play both ways. Like, that's not very common at all, period. It's very common in classifications below that, but once you get above like 5 or 6A, or once you get above 5A, it's not very common for dudes to play both ways. And it just seems like this guy makes stuff happen when the ball is close to him. He is a electrifying defensive back. He played corner last night. So he was playing corner last night. Auburn's got him down as a safety. I think he could be either. He's that gifted. He's big, 6'2", over 190 pounds already. Didn't realize he was that tall. It was a very, very good. He had a very, very good game. He was making plays as well. Again, like I said, six tackles, a scoop and score for a touchdown. And then obviously he got a lot of offensive snaps as well. I would say if you're excited about Auburn's recruiting class, look, you can recruit paper. Okay. You can recruit off the paper if you want to. You know, if you got five stars on paper, you got whatever, four stars on paper, you can recruit off the paper, but you don't really ever know how they're going to perform in reality. Like you really got to see it in person. You really got to see how they're going to perform, because the rankings are a good barometer, but the play on the field is what matters. And these dudes are ballers playing against the best competition, and they shined. They looked really, really good. And I think they're going to be great, great, great players for Auburn, both of them. And they're going to play probably very, very early and often. And I think you should be excited about it. The punter, also from Thompson, his name escapes me, but he was electric. I mean, the very first punt he had was a coffin corner out at the two. So put great. And then that's when he put him out on the two, and then Jared Smith came about a half a yard from creating a safety. So he had multiple punts inside the 10. Auburn's got some electric players coming out of that Thompson, Auburn North Thompson High School that they're building that pipeline to. It's high school football is in, and we're going to cover it at the barn. We have a thread on there that we call, I think, Friday Night Highlights, that's pinned at the top. And we're going to continually update it with stats, videos, and things like that that come about as we watch our commits, we watch certain targets, and we'll kind of keep that thing full of content as the year goes on. But it is that season. It's high school football season, high school recruiting season. Visits are about to start picking up, and it looks like some commits are about to start popping up, start to get some second wave of maybe this finish out this class. You got one final little wave that you got, you know, maybe add another five or six guys and cap this baby off. And every single one of them is big game hunting. Every single guy you got in the crosshairs is big game hunting. And we'll keep you posted at thebarnauburn.com. Sign up for $1 for your first month. There is nothing out there. There's just nothing out there that you can get for more value for $1 than thebarnauburn.com. You can interact with me. You can interact with Zach Blackerby, Daryl Daprich, Brad Law, Taylor Korn, a lot of the different voices and faces that you see across Auburn podcast and YouTube land. You can find them all there and you know, mix it up, have some fun. And then obviously just the general banter is top notch as well. So check it out, thebarnauburn.com. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We got another scrimmage this weekend. And you know how we do at thebarnauburn.com with scrimmage recaps. So definitely you want to sign up so you can get the inside scoop on everything that goes down Saturday. They're going to do a big walkthrough mock game, and we're going to keep you posted on that. So y'all have a great weekend, and we'll probably be up for that Sunday night live. So hit that alarm bell, make sure you're ready for it. And we will get back with you going next week. Thanks again for another great week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening. And drive home safely.